Before I get started this evening, I want to ask you a prayer. Keep my wife in your prayers. She is traveling back to her hometown. It's about 4 hours away. She went to see her father, and I don't like her traveling without me. I think I'm the only one that can protect her. I know that's not true, but that's how I feel. And so pray for her safety. And also, I want you to keep my father and mother in your prayers. Just pray for my dad's physical and spiritual well-being, and just keep my mama, just her life, in your prayers too. She's a good woman. And sometimes you wonder, like Job, you know, why the people who try so hard have to deal with so much. So just keep them in your prayers for me. I appreciate that. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about being steadfast for God, but under the umbrella of trusting God. And I want to ask the question, how can you know you are truly trusting God? How can you truly know that? You're going through something, or something has happened in your life, or something is going on within a congregation, and someone walks up to you and says, just trust God. I believe over time, the phrase trust God may have taken on a sort of a cliche type meaning for many people. Words that we, in all good intentions, throw out there. But when they are received by the individual to whom we meant them, then how does that individual know they are trusting God? Are you trusting God when you worry about the same thing you were worrying about before someone told you to trust God? Are you trusting God when you feel hopeless in a situation? If those two things and other things that can be said are signs of us not trusting God, then guess what? There are a lot of us that don't trust God, aren't there? There has to be something more to the phrase, trust God, that would enable us to know that we are doing that very thing, or that we are not doing that very thing. Are you demonstrating your trust, I think, is the question we should ask. What do you mean by that, Tony? I mean, I don't want you to say that you are trusting God. What steps are you taking in your life that actually demonstrate your trust in God? Are there things that we can do in our lives that demonstrate the trust that we should have in God? I want to look at one of those steps today. And the reason I want to talk about this is because I believe this is going to help us in our lives as Christians to stay focused on the will of God and doing the things that we need to do in our lives. Ask yourself the question, what has hindered you more from doing God's will? What has hindered you more from being at Bible studies? What has hindered you more from gathering at an extra event of the church? What has hindered you more? Your faith in God, your trust in God, or were you so frustrated by the things that were going on at that particular time that you just didn't want to be around anybody else? Now, that's no excuse, because God still expects us to be faithful. But that's a reality of many people's lives. So how do you demonstrate that trust? It's so important, in my opinion, that we understand that to demonstrate trust in God, step number one, I believe, step number one is stop looking at things from a human perspective and formulating conclusions based upon the human perspective. What we have done in our lives is, every time something happens, We take what has happened and we sit down and reason from a human perspective. Number one, why it has happened. Number two, what it's going to lead to. Number three, can I make it through it? Number four, how do I get out of it? Number five, I cannot believe it was that. I cannot believe it's this bad. All hope is gone for me in my life. And so when we begin to look at those situations like that from an emotional standpoint, then we rush to, and make decisions based upon those emotions. And we make irrational decisions based upon emotions. And the emotion can be an emotion of excitement. The emotion of excitement can be a good and a bad thing. It can be a bad thing if the emotion of excitement has made you to believe that there's a certain type of success out there that you should reach for, and based upon this human perspective of excitement and what you can achieve, then you just jump out there without any guidance from God, and when you get out there, you see you made a mistake because you rushed based upon excitement. How many people are sitting here today because of the emotion of sadness? And because of the emotion of sadness, you have settled for where you are. Nothing has gone right. Everything has gone wrong. And you're sad about everything that's gone wrong. And because you're sad about everything that's gone wrong, you have settled for where you are. You have chosen to stay where you are, believing that there's nothing different for your life ahead. The emotion of sadness causes people to lower their expectations and to lower their goals for their own lives. What about the emotion of anxiety? Man, do you know anxiety starts from the smallest things? I told my babies to go get me a cup of water, a half a cup of water. It's not a half a cup now because I got thirst on the way up and so I drunk some out of it. But it's about this much of water in this cup. And this is not a half-full, half-empty illustration. This cup doesn't weigh anything. It's very light. If I call one of you strong young men up here to hold this cup right here for me, and if I were to ask you how long you think you could hold this cup, you know, these young teenage boys, they'd be, oh, man, I hold that all day. But you'd be surprised how something that weighs so little will weigh on you if you hold it long enough. And what happens in life with anxiety is we reason from a human perspective about what we're going through, and we hold on to that thing within our heart day after day after day. We never consult God's guidance. We never pray about the situation. We never consult the Word of God to try to look for things that we can do in our lives, and we hold on to those things day after day, and it wears us down. We're no good to our husbands. We're no good to our wives. We're no good to our children. We're no good to our church family. We're no good to the kingdom, because now what used to be a light weight has weighed us down so much to the point that we can't even get up. So how do we demonstrate that trust in God? Stop looking at your life from a human perspective. There's nobody sitting in this auditorium today who can look at your life right now and say you know where you will be in 1 year, 5 years, or 10 years. Nobody. You can only project where you would like to be and then take the necessary steps to get there. That's all you can do within your limitations. That's it. And then your plans mean nothing, because the plans of man mean nothing outside of God's will. And so, the support for this step one, I want to take from Proverbs chapter 3. So turn your Bibles over there if you will. Proverbs chapter 3. And let's look at demonstrating our trust in God by not formulating human perspectives with situations that we find ourselves in. Proverbs chapter 3. My lesson today, it wasn't even supposed to be like this, but let me tell you something. Our young adult class this morning, was the best class I think I have had in 10 or 15 years. And it made me go home and just lay down, cry, lay down, cry, meditate on God's word, and reevaluate my lesson. Because what I'm telling you all here today, I need myself. In Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse number 5, we find these words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's number one. Now let's stop right there. That's the trusting in God part. Trust in God with all your heart, not part of it. You don't give your part of your heart to somebody else and give the other part to God. You don't give part of your heart to some doctor or some psychologist or some whoever it is and then say, I'm going to give God the other part of my heart. Now, there are people who can help you and give you advice, but they are secondary to God. We should first give God all our heart when it comes to trusting Him. What's the practical side of that? How do we demonstrate that we trust God from these verses here? Look at the next part of the verse. And lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. The practical aspect of this right here is when you find yourself in a situation in life that seems detrimental, that seems bad for you, that seems not good for your family, do not start reasoning like a human being trying to figure out all the ins and outs. Stop for a moment. Acknowledge that God is first and foremost. Acknowledge that He is sovereign. Acknowledge that He is in control and that He controls everything, including your life, and pray to Him. Not only pray to Him, consult His word for guidance. That is step number one. See, when you consult God first in your life, you're showing Him, God, you're in control. I am going to push all of my human wisdom, all of my human reasoning, all my human understanding aside. And though I look out front and I cannot see light anywhere, Lord, I'm consulting You. Lean not on your own understanding, because what you understand about a situation may not be the purpose of that situation. It may not be how that situation is going to work out. Let me give you two examples of what I'm talking about. Turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, real quick. This is the story of Abraham. God calling Abraham to offer his only son. I realize he had a son by Hagar, but this is the only son that God promised him. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1. Genesis 22 and verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Then he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you, you know what? Every time I read this verse, that one phrase stands out. He could have said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, go to the land of Moriah, and I want you to offer there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I shall tell you. He didn't say that. He said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, number one, your only son, number two, and number three, the son that you love. And I want you to go offer him as a sacrifice. Now, you know what Abraham could have done? Abraham could have stepped back as a human being and started leaning on his own understanding and began to say stuff like this right here. Man, this is my boy. If I kill him, I can't get him back. If I sacrifice him, he's gone forever. If this, if that, what if this, what if that? But the Bible says, in verse 3, that Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took off. Why? Why did Abraham do this? Because he was demonstrating trust in God by demonstrating it in his actions.
He didn't lean on his own understanding, looking at all the ramifications from a human perspective. He said, okay, God, I am trusting in you, and I'm going to demonstrate it in my life by moving forward with what you have told me to do. And you know the only way he did that? The only way he can do that is he trusted that if God wanted him to sacrifice this boy, that if God wanted to, God also could resurrect him from the dead. Abraham's ability to move forward with this was based upon his understanding of God's power and God's abilities. And so when God said to Abraham, go sacrifice your son, the first thing Abraham said is this right here. Man, I know how powerful God is. And God had never asked me to do anything beyond his power. You know how I know that's true? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at verse 17. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17 tells us the reason why Abraham did not have a problem with sacrificing his son to God. And it was not based upon what was best for Abraham. It was based upon how Abraham viewed God in his life as the number one source of power and sovereignty. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse number 17, watch what it says. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac your seed shall be called. Now watch verse 19. Concluding, he concluded that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from which he also in a figure received him back. Watch how powerful that is, y'all. This verse here said, in verse 19, Abraham came to a conclusion, and his conclusion was not based upon human reasoning. His conclusion was not based upon human understanding. His conclusion was based upon who God is and what God can do. Verse 19 says, he concluded that God was able to raise him back from the dead. And because of that, the Bible says that in Abraham's own mind, his son was already dead and resurrected. Abraham demonstrated his trust in God by understanding that God's power and ability is able to do anything in his life. It was only because of that, y'all. It's only because of that. You see, power and ability means everything when you find yourself in a situation. If we're walking a tightrope, and I've got two tightrope people right here, and both of them good. One of them weighs 100 pounds, and the other one weighs about 250. The one that weighs 100 pounds has not a muscle in sight. The one that weighs 250 pounds is built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. But both of them tell me to jump on. Who you think I'm going to jump on? I don't care how good they are. I'm jumping on the one that looks like he can carry me. You can jump on the other. Why? Because power and ability means everything to my confidence and me moving forward. And when you understand in your mind that God is able, if he so chooses, God is able to turn your situation around, when you understand that, you begin to demonstrate your trust in God. And it'll show in your life. But you got to believe that first. Let's look at another scenario. Turn to Genesis chapter 50. We're not going to read this whole story because it'll take forever. We're just going to look at the concluding verses. In Genesis chapter 50, this is one of my favorite stories. We talked about this a little bit in class this morning. And it has to do with Joseph. And in this particular section of scripture right here, the boys had all, they had did everything they could do. They had to come down, they came down to Egypt, did everything they could do to destroy Joseph, and they came down into Egypt. And when they finally had to face him, they didn't know what to do. They were afraid. And they were more afraid when their father died. And when their father died, they thought Joseph was going to just unleash his wrath on them. And they were scared. And so in Genesis chapter 50, look at verse number 15. When Joseph's brothers saw their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. You see, you know what they thought? You know what they were doing? They were reasoning from a human perspective. They were reasoning from an... We cannot direct our steps. Jeremiah 10, verse number 23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to direct his steps. Proverbs 14, 12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We cannot properly formulate conclusions that are rational because we formulate conclusions out of emotions. And so the brothers of Jacob were standing here, and they said, Joseph was standing here, and they said, oh Lord, from a human perspective, I know what I would do because I'm a human. I know what other people have done because they are human. And so they concluded, based on a human reasoning, that Joseph would get revenge on them. He would repay them with evil. That's the human reasoning in full swing. And you know what? They were wrong the whole time. How many of us in here today are reasoning by our situations in life? We're reasoning about our finances. We're reasoning about our relationships. We're reasoning about our jobs. We're reasoning about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're just reasoning about life in general from a human perspective. And we are dead wrong because we do not know what God has in mind for our lives. How many of us are in that situation? You know what these boys found out? These boys found out that their human reasoning was wrong. You see, one of the things you have to understand about human reasoning is that in life, all of us, our life experiences are very important when it comes to shaping the person that you are. The reason why we got so many different personalities in here is not necessarily because we got different genetics, but it's because we come from different places. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different homes. We've shared in different experiences. We've had different heartbreaks. We've had different frustrations. We've had different failures. And the failure that you had, the heartbreak that you had, the frustrations that you had made you into the person that you are, while everything I went through over here made me into the person that I am. So in life, when we face situations, we begin to formulate conclusions based upon the experiences that life has given us and what we've seen. That's why you could take one situation and have 10 people in the same situation, and if you allow them to reason from a human perspective, all 10 come to a different conclusion. So what do these boys find out about their human reasoning? Jump down in the chapter and look at verse number 18. Then his brothers went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? And Joseph said to them, in the next verse, As for you, you meant this evil against me, but God meant it for the good in order to bring about as it is this day to save many people. Joseph says, You meant this. You human beings had a different plan in mind, and this is the way you meant it. See, you reasoned and you concluded that if we go about it this way and if we did this to Joseph, we handled it this way, then it would turn out the way we think. I'm here to tell you today the plans that we have in life, you all, if they are not sustained by God and His will, they will not turn out the way we think. These boys' plans were not sustained by the will of God, and that's why it didn't work out like they thought. As humans, they thought it was going to work out this way, and God had something totally different in mind, and Joseph knew that. And so Joseph says, you were reasoning from a human perspective, but God had something totally different in mind. Did you see the attitude of Joseph? Do you know why Joseph had that attitude? I can tell you why. Because when Joseph was in the pit, Joseph may not have been thinking from a human perspective. He may have been concluding that his God was able. When Joseph was on the road to slavery, he may not have been reasoning from a human perspective. He may have been saying, God is able. When he ended up in prison because he was lied on, he probably wasn't reasoning from a human perspective. He probably was saying, God is able. Everything that Joseph went through in his life was based not upon what he thought as a human would come out of this, but what he knew could come out of it because the God he served was able. And because of that, every bad situation Joseph found himself in, he made the most out of it. He made the most out of it, y'all. He made the most out of it. If you are going to be a person who says you trust God, act like it and demonstrate it in your life. Demonstrate your trust in God by looking at every situation you find yourself in and saying, look, it may look this way right now, but my God is able, and because my God is able, I am going to make the most out of this situation that I am in. In your relationships, if you have made mistakes, if you have done things to hurt others, that is in the past. Don't try to reason how the future is going to be. Look to God for counsel. Look to His Word for guidance. Pray about the situation and move forward to the best of your ability to be the best person that you can possibly be in the sight of God, and let everything fall where it may. If you've done things on your job and you've got demoted, don't you settle out of sadness to think that you'll never rise again. You put the past in the past and you said, my God is able. And where your demotion took you, you work as hard as you can for the rest of your life if you have to, by making the most out of that situation. You kids that are going to school, that are going to college, the road is not always going to be bright. The road is not always going to be festive. It's not going to be roses just because you step up in there and you're ready to tackle this with that good attitude. It's going to be tough and it's going to be hard sometimes. You may even have to step outside of school for a little while just to get back into school. But it doesn't mean that that's the end of the road for you. It doesn't mean that's where your life ends. If you trust God and you demonstrate that trust in your life, what you would say is, this is a detour to me, and while I am on this detoured road, I am going to make the most out of this situation and live my life to the fullest for God until I can get back on that pathway that I was on. Austinville, we can do the same thing here. All of the things that have happened since this congregation has even been in existence, we can look at those things as learning tools, and we can put those things behind us. And we can say, we're going to make the most out of this situation that we have ourselves in. We're going to make the most out of the opportunities that we have. We're going to make the most out of the relationships that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to make the most out of the opportunities that we have to lead some soul to Jesus. We're going to make the most out of it. Why? Because we know that our God is able. We know, therefore, we believe. If you're here tonight and you have let your interpretations of life cause you to doubt your very existence and purpose, I expect you to come to the front tonight so we can pray for you and encourage you and show you that your life is just beginning because you serve an Almighty God. This may be the very encouragement that you need for your life. If you're here tonight and you put off trusting God because things that you've been dealing with for the last 5 to 10 years haven't worked out yet, then I want you to come back to trusting God, because I'm telling you, Joseph did not get to the mountaintop overnight. It took years. And all of those years he was struggling and going through what he was going through, he stayed faithful and dedicated to God, which is the number one recipe. And because of that, God took every bad thing that he could go through in his life, and it worked out for his benefit. Don't you give up on God. If you're here, you're not a child of God, and you want to become one, trust God and demonstrate your trust in God by coming
to put on Christ in baptism. Faith leads you to repent. Repent leads you to confess. And confession leads you to be baptized in water so your sins can be washed away. Don't put it off till tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised. If you have a need, let us help you. Let's pray for you. Let us stand and let us sing.